Do you need answers? Is there a need for a true spiritual and prophetic encounter with God? Join Dr. Candace Smitherman and various relevant prophetic voices from around the world. Become enlightened as we walk down the true road to an authentic spiritual encounter. You will experience the glory of God with Dr. Candace and the Glory Roadshow.
Listen, kingdom, it's time for you to bring heaven to earth, which means you must understand the culture of heaven first and begin to live there first, even when the systems in the earth are telling you otherwise.
This is where the teaching of Jesus about the new wine into the new wineskin applies. And in that understanding there, when you read that, it's recorded in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The last sentence of each of that discourse he gives when he says new wine into a new wineskin at the end, that word new is two different Greek words. The first time he says new wine is new in quantity. So there's going to be more of the new wine. The second time new is used, is new in quality. There's going to be a new container to hold this new vastness of wine. The new vastness of wine is an analogy to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's coming. But if you don't have a renewed mind, your container is going to be the old container and it can't contain it. So in other words, we need a new mind skin to contain the new wine. We've got to transform, right? Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. It'll make sense to you. Otherwise, it doesn't make, the will of God does not make sense to you. God's math is not our math. I mean, that's you all have either participated in it, it's happened to you, or you know people where things just don't make sense. And you go, I don't get it. But you know what? When you walk into the room with this belief and stuff, it's like people will do stuff for you, and they'll come up to you and say things like, I don't even know why I'm helping you right now. I don't even like you. But I'm helping you because you've got the force of favor on you because you've got a new mind skin to understand the quantity and the quality of what has happened to you with the Holy Spirit. And you'll have people agree with you, like, and work with you in situations because the force of favor is on you. And that's what we learn in the Word of God. These people doing what Candace shows, we read about them in the Old Testament. I don't think if you know this. Joseph, Daniel, Esther. These are examples of people that went into a pagan culture. Jesus is showing us within the heart of the pagan, the belly of the beast is the Roman Empire. The belly of the beast was the Egyptian Empire. The belly of the beast was the Babylonian Empire. The belly of the beast was the Persian Empire. And all those people went in as representatives of the living God, Christians, Jews, that went in there and got the entire system. It says Daniel was 10 times smarter than the local Persian Hebrew boys. Him and his band of Hebrew boys in Bible school were way smarter than the locals in Babylon. Right? Right? Fast forward to Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar, the new king, is having a party using all the things that they stole from the Jews, that the Jews took from Egypt that God gave them when they left. They're having this incredible party, and God said, that's it, enough. I'm tired of you abusing my stuff. And what happens? A finger writes on the wall, and the party goes, what the heck just happened? There's a finger writing on the wall. It freaked everybody out. They couldn't interpret what was written. And the king's like, we need to interpret this. All his soothsayers, all his magicians come. They don't have a clue. His mother goes, there is a guy. There is a guy in your... that you might not know because you're kind of drunk all the time and you're partying. There is a guy that your grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, said is the wisest of all men. His name's Daniel, and he can do anything. He's following the living God. And your grandfather even admitted it at the end. You might want to call him. He calls him. Daniel interprets the tongue. Why? Because the only one who can interpret tongues are those that are baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then he prophesies, and he tells him, he doesn't want to really tell him what is going on because it's bad news, but that very evening, the king died. Because of force of favor. This is that thing. This is one of the offshoots that you got to grasp, is when you follow this and live this way, favor is like this indescribable elixir that falls on you because you're obeying God when all else around you isn't. And you're going to be able to do things and have people come and work with you that, like I said, don't even like you. But they'll find out, and they will say things to you like, I have no idea why I'm doing this. I just believe I'm supposed to be doing this. You ever had that happen to you? Some of you are nodding your heads. It's because in that moment, you are aligned with the will of the all-powerful Creator. And this power that the Creator has endowed on us through the Son dying, that we can believe in the Son and by grace through faith be born again and saved, we can do that stuff. That is not the way of man. That makes no sense in the natural. But it's the way of God. And that's why you got to have a renewed mind to get this.
Okay, so.
How was that? How was that? It made you go, whoa.
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 Yes, wow.
Whoa.
I'm having a faith thing going on.
Wait. Let me see. Is this a good time? You guys just taught me a new word. Mochablok. Is that good? Mochablok? Mukablook, sorry. See? I was doing my best. Mukablook. Well, yeah, I'm sorry. You got to give me some grace on that one. But I wrote it down. I just don't know how to write it in English. All right. I'm getting a little hand clap. Thank you, Jesus.
Wait. Buy a donkey.
That's it. That's right. Buy a donkey. That was the easier way, but I wanted to like fit. Come on. I've got my socks. I told you I got my fellies. Come on. You're adopting me as a son. So I got to start trying to speak the lingo. I'm not going to cop out with buy a donkey.
Come on. South Africa's adopting us.
I get it.
Here you go.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Okay, so here's a question for you. Come on, we're coaches, so we're going to push you a little bit. We're pushing
well,
you.
Well, we're discipling you.
Yes.
We lose the term coaching because the world will accept that term.
Yes.
So we're Jehovah Sneaky. Right?
That's right.
Because if you use the principles of God in a secular system and you don't talk about it, but you follow the principles of God, it'll change the atmosphere and they won't even know that they're agreeing with the principles of God because you're bringing,
right.
You're the very vehicle that God's using in that environment, in that atmosphere, okay? In your sphere of influence. You follow what we all know, the Ten Commandments. We follow the principles of God, the teachings of the Lord. He said, teach them all things. You do that, it will change your area. You will be the system change agent. That's the light shining on a hill right in the midst of, and that's what Daniel did. That's what Joseph did. That's what Esther did. Isn't that cool? You don't even have to sound religious. You actually shouldn't, because then they'll listen to you. I'm just telling you. I'm not saying you can't do that, but I'm just telling you. Many times they'll let you in the door if you like be Jehovah Sneaky. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. You're looking at me again like, whoa.
Okay. So, freely you have received, now freely give. So here's a question for you then. What is God holding out on you for? What is he holding back and not giving you? I need you to think about this.
Yeah.
Where in this whole process is God like, I think I'm going to hold that back. I'm not giving it to you. You haven't asked. Okay? So yes, you're right. Ask and you shall receive, okay? But what if you don't ask? Does that still prevent him from being a giver? No. So asking is true. We got to get up enough courage to ask, enough faith to ask, God, would you give this to me, okay? But I really believe our asking is to prepare us for what we're about ready to receive already that he already set aside for us to receive. You think you're asking is opening up some kind of portal and now you're going to receive it. You're asking because the Holy Spirit is asking you to ask something that God already wrote that is coming to you in this time and season. Or else you wouldn't be asking for it. So I'm going to ask again. Is God holding out on you? Does he have a bunch of toys in his pocket and he's saying, nope, you don't get that one today? No? Do you got to work for what he's got in his pocket? No? Mm-mm. You mean you don't have to turn tricks here and there and you don't have to like send out your money here and you don't? No? No? Oh, so if we ask, we confuse God. We confuse God. Okay. Okay. Okay, so don't ask in confusion. Or don't try and confuse God. He already knows what you need before, right? I think most of the time, he's waiting for us to be ready to receive all the good gifts that he wants to give us. So our asking then tells him, I think I'm ready now for this gift. But he's actually giving us the Holy Spirit voice to ask for what we're ready to receive. He already knew it and it was already written in the timeline. So here's the deal. If God's not holding out on you, then how come you're not living life to the fullest? Say that again. Without faith, you cannot be...
Please God.
You cannot please God. Right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm sorry, not verse 1, it's verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But when we live by faith, he rewards those who seek him. Right? Okay, so what is the language of heaven then?
Faith.
Faith. So now, faith is not needed in heaven, by the way. Faith's only needed here about what heaven is. So when we talk about having a faith that pleases God, we're talking about stepping into a realm that comes into agreement with what heaven already is. That's all your faith is. Your faith is coming into agreement with what already exists. You're just trying to walk it out. Right? And what does Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 say? Faith is the substance, it's a tangible thing, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not seen yet, but it's substance. We can touch it, we can feel it, we can have a relationship with God through faith, believing that he is a great giver and he wants to give to us. Our problem, church, is that we don't believe God wants to give us the things, not only that we're asking for, but that he's already written in the scrolls of destiny for us to have long before the foundation of the world. Do you know he was your savior before he was your creator? Before he created the earth, he had already had a meaning that he was going to save us. Right? He already knew. He already knew long before. So we got to get on with his plan. Which means we've got to stretch ourselves. We have to have a capacity that can step into a place that already exists and is living and is active today. That Jesus redeemed already all things for us and put us in the Garden of Eden, asking us just to till it or steward it, we would call it. Steward it. Make sure you water your plants, you know. Make sure you do what you need to do for your plants here and there. Not to halfway die, kill, you know, do any of these crazy things that we try and do in order to make something happen. The more faith you have, the easier everything is. Our problem is because we look at everything as though something is less than and not more than. This is part of being born into the death realms. When we were born into the curse, which happened after the fall of man, we were born into a realm of death, not a realm of life. This is why what Jesus shocked the world, because all of a sudden life started walking on the planet and no one knew what to do with it. Who is this life source that he walks around and all of a sudden wherever there's death, something springs to life? What is this? But then he dies, buries, and resurrects to break that power of the dominion of death in the earth, that we might now be ascended with him and carriers of life everywhere. Right? Now, if you're a carrier of life everywhere, then you should be able to eat off of the tree of life every day. You should be able to function in a realm where life exists everywhere you go and everything you do.
Okay, he says, I came to give you life and life more abundantly.
And life everlasting. Okay, when did this life start? It started when you became born again. That's when your everlasting life started. When you read all throughout the Word of God, it talks about giving glory to God for eternal life or everlasting life. He's talking about living in a realm of life, which means your finances aren't dead. It means your relationships aren't dead. It means that everything that looks like it's in lack or poor or sick or not where it should be, all that is seeing something function in a death realm, that you have been now catapulted to a life realm, and when you come near that thing, it shall come to life. And it's only in a death space because it doesn't know how to live redeemed either. It's not that God didn't redeem it. It's that it needs to be jump-started into knowing who it is or what it is so it can begin to start living in life. Okay, I'm going to stop talking.
Let's see if we got anyone who's got questions.
See if anybody got any questions.
Hearing.
We had a few comments coming from out there, but we didn't get you on the microphone, so not everybody might have heard. Anyone?
Questions? Bueller?
Yeah?
Yeah, she gets it.
Amen. Questions? Comments? Frustrations?
Yes, ma'am. Come on up.
Come on up just so that
come
the camera
up,
can
Zoe.
Hear you. Because yeah. I think the other questions were really good, too, but I don't think anybody on the video heard.
I just want to ask a question. So we are hearing about this faith and the depth of the faith, but can you just give me that key of the faith activation that can keep me going when you're going to go back home? Am I going to stay behind? And I need to put that into my personal life, in my day-to-day with the Lord Jesus and in my day-to-day with the people that I encounter, to be an example and not to say, speak about it, because I usually, and as I was sitting there, I thought like, okay, so for me, it's like I need to live it. I always say faith is Father and I together in harmony. Just the word for me to keep going personally. But how do I practically live that out?
Right.
So I need that activation in my spirit to receive it, but then to, you know, the believe it. But it's the belief comes through the, I see it works. I see it manifests in my life. And that the testimony of how I will go with it. So that's the question is, how do I personally activate this and then keep me going when you're not close to ask the question?
Yeah. Well, right off the bat, what I'd like to tell us all is, if you can identify you might be getting a little bit unsure, you know, for, I don't know what else, other word to use, but unsure, well, that's a sign that your faith is starting to wane. So there needs to be time alone with God, and also I would add, you need to remember all the times he's come through. You need, because we tend to forget them, and we go, what are you going to do for me today? And we take for granted the things that have been done. If we can, like, and if that may mean for some of us, you know, maybe you need to write them down, because I'll guarantee you there's There's so many things you're going to fill up more paper than you realize because we take for granted so many things that are his way of, you know, showing us we're living by faith. And many of them can be little things. But that's one, that's a couple of practical things, like an exercise or an assignment, is to list them down. And when you start to wane, take yourself, oh, wait, I got to go read my list again because I got to put them on the refrigerator or put them on the mirror. And you're, I mean, I'm serious now. These are the question was, can I have some practical steps? These are some practical steps because we tend to forget what he did for us. And we take it for granted and go, what are you going to do for me now? These are the things that initially hit me when you asked that.
Okay, so I have a couple of additional ones that as well. Okay, so when you believe that the Lord is asking you to do something, and you begin to start feeling like you're hearing God's voice and you're starting to experience a joy about what he's sharing with you, you're thinking to yourself, wow, God, like, that's amazing. Like, would you really ask me to do that? You're starting to get joyful, right? About, wow, you know, you really want me to go over here and do this or go over there and do that. And then all of a sudden, you have a thought that says, you can't do that. You can't do that thing. You don't have enough. You don't have enough resources for that thing. Okay? This is super practical. Okay? So what this is a case of is that your left hand is strangling your right hand. Okay? Because in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord speaks about our giving. And what does he say? He gives a lot of different things in there. Like, don't let your giving be seen by men and, you know, all of this. Because then you get your rewards from other people, right? Okay. That's only one aspect of it. Then he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Why does he say that? He says, because he knows we were born into the death realms and we're going to immediately rob the opportunity for where he wants to take us because we're going to grab a hold of it and say, I don't have enough, so therefore I can't. Every single response you'll ever have will first be, I don't have enough, before it'll be, I have enough. And I'm not even talking about money. I'm just talking about you. You'll go, I don't have enough education. I'm not living in the right spot. So-and-so doesn't like me, so this isn't going to happen because of that. Or I'm trapped in this job, and they're in this position, and until they get out of it, it won't happen, right? Those are all faith challenges. Every single one of those is a faith challenge. Because when the Holy Spirit is saying to you, I have this for you, and you're feeling this joy raise up, and you're beginning to grab a hold of it, immediately the left hand is going to strangle that movement. This is why Paul said, be a cheerful giver. He said, it means more to God that you cheerfully give than you give 10%. Why did he say that? He said that because he wants you moved in faith in your giving. Because if it's not done in faith, it's sin. You're just following a law. Jesus met the law. What's the point, right? Churches like to give the minimum of 10% of your gross or whatever like that. But we only do or say those kinds of things because people won't even step out to one level of faith. But technically, the law of the tithe has already been redeemed. We're in the grace of the tithe. You should be giving more than 10%. Why? Because you've received everything from God, so go ahead and give it and don't worry about the next place it's coming. But because you worry about the next place it's coming, you stop giving right where you're at.
And then you stay stuck in the very area that you're at that you don't want to be in because we can't afford not to freely give. Like, that's the deal.
So we talk about the fullness of faith. It means that everything you encounter is going to be a challenge because the DNA of the fall of man is cursed in such a way that it's going to rob you at every turn. You don't even need Satan to help you with that one. It's in our blood. It's been redeemed, but we have to respond as though it's been redeemed. Yeah. Otherwise, Satan is effective in holding us in places that we don't want to be and we've already been set free from. How terrible is that, to be set free from something that you're still in bondage to?
Yeah.
You can write that
down. It's like we all have won the lottery or we've all got this huge inheritance that's just sitting in the bank because we don't even go tap into it because we didn't think it was ours.
So let me test you with this one. So What if somebody comes to you and says, listen, I got some mission work for you to do, and I want to send you to Norway to do it. But this is going to cost you like $10,000 to go to Norway. But you know God wants you to go to Norway. You know it. You've been praying. You've been interceding for Norway. You know God wants to send you to Norway. Right? Why did I pick Norway? Because it's probably one of the most expensive Scandinavian nations that we have, right? Okay. But God says, listen, I want you to go to Norway. Buy your ticket to Norway. And here's where you're going to stay. These are the accommodations. I want you to get... I need you to stay at the Hilton such and such of Norway, and it's a 5-star hotel, and it's going to be whatever cost. And you're going, man, whoa, that so meets with my spirit. Like, that's where I'm supposed to be. I know it. I feel it. I got joy for this thing. And you start going on the internet, and you start figuring out how much is it going to cost to get you to Norway, right? Well, God didn't ask you how much it was going to cost to get you to Norway. He said, I want you to go to Norway. But what did you do? You went to look at your resources to determine whether or not you should go to Norway. If God says you're going to Norway, and he tells you even where to go, why are you looking at your resources to determine whether or not the bill is going to be paid for out of your funding? Somebody needs to help me here. See, I'm talking at high levels of faith. I'm talking that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. I'm talking about obedience is better than sacrifice. I'm talking that if God says go to Norway, you get online, you figure it out. You got yourself a credit card. You put it on that thing, right? And then you make your reservations or whatever. Because guess what? King so-and-so of Norway is waiting at the Hilton to give you a check to pay for everything, but you won't know that unless you buy your tickets. Because the king of Norway is going to support you coming there, right? Not God. Okay, I'm sorry. God is, through the king of Norway, going to support you going there. But guess what? You robbed yourself already before this train started going. Because you said, I can't go. You said, God got to give me all these resources before he sends me. You figured it out. See, I got to have all this banked up, and then I can go.
You guys got to know something. You're talking to a couple people that this ain't our first rodeo. We've done some things that people look at us and go, you guys are nuts. And we didn't do it just one time or twice or thrice.
It's a lifestyle for
us.
It's a lifestyle.
You know?
But what happens when you live like that? You can preach about God being a giver. Zoe, you want your life to reflect? You live out every joyful moment that God puts before you. Because he's a God of joy. He's a God of peace. He's a God that wants to give his sons and daughters everything. The problem is the sons and daughters don't have enough faith to...
You've been watching The Glory Road with Dr. Candace Smitherman. She can be seen all over the world. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, plant a seed in the ground. You can support by going to CandaceSmitherman.com. Remember, all donations are tax deductible.